We have to be ever so aware of the moving of the Holy Spirit. And we have to allow Him to move whenever He wants to move, and don't quench Him. There's so much at stake in the body of Christ right now. What I want to do this morning is, I just want to highlight some things that I've been reading this week that's going on in the body of Christ, and how the body of Christ is really messed up. And it's not getting better, it's getting worse. You know, the body of Christ is whole over this land. I want to read what happened to this one pastor as he was preaching. His sermon was called Fire Starters. He says, one congregation member had popped up, then another, each walked out, kind of shaking their heads because Pastor T.L. Bates refused to compromise the Word of God. You see that? T.L. Bates refused to compromise the Word of God. The Assemblies of God pastor was preaching on fire starters, according to the True News, and addressing one of the most hot-button issues facing the church community today, which is homosexuality. The pastor said, I used Elijah as the example of a fire starter and our need to raise up a new generation of fire starters who would not be afraid to confront false religions like Islam and corrupt culture. Bates tells Charisma News, anyone, comedians, community media can say anything negative about Christianity and there are no repercussions for their actions or their words. But as soon as a Christian preaches or speaks against the false religion of Islam or against the agenda of the LGBT community and the transgender movement and their demands for us to make accommodations for and accept their lifestyle and agenda, then we face persecution. We are called intolerant and told that we are not being politically correct. Pastor said, I went on to say we need fire starters like Elijah who will call fire down from heaven to confront the culture and false religions with undeniable, uncompromising truth and without political correctness. It was at this point that I began to see people getting up, walking out, and shaking their heads. The pastor of OKC Faith Church says about 50 to 75 people of all ages and races walked out. Despite ample protest and blame, Bates is one of many who will not ignore biblical teaching. We welcome everyone to faith regardless of your sexual orientation, race, or religious beliefs, but we will not change the gospel or modify our message in any way to accommodate any view or lifestyle that is contrary to the Word of God, Bates said. My real issue that Sunday was that the LGBT community, which by most measurements constitutes less than 1% of America's society, is actively pushing their agenda on everyone else, while Christians remain silent. My call for fire starters was to raise up a generation of believers who were spiritually on fire, boiling point of passion, who would not be intimidated by false religions or deceptive culture for the sake of political correctness. We have an obligation to God to preach the truth in love, but also to preach the truth without apology. Bates' message was one of repentance and conviction, congregation member Diane Pullman says. I watched him transform to preach this end-time message, and he's on fire for the Lord. But as soon as his messages became politically incorrect, people began to walk out of the services right in the middle of his messages, Pullman says. Saints, a huge separation is taking place. I agree and am praying fervently that the blinders will come off, and I'm confident that the great shaking to come will jolt many wide awake. Our Lord is merciful in bringing this shaking. But the pastor faced flak for his message. Someone left an anonymous note on his windshield harassing him for his intolerance. Others threatened to withhold their tithes. Still others never returned. Still Bates holds firm. Over almost 40 years of pastoral ministry, I have seen that what one generation is asked to tolerate, the next generation accepts and the next generation participates. So in my personal opinion, I believe the LGBT community, as well as Islam and many others, have an agenda which no longer wants us to be tolerant of their lifestyle and beliefs, but be accepting and accommodating, Bates says. The transgender bathroom issue is just the tip of the iceberg. Somewhere we must draw the line and refuse to buy into the call for political correctness or tolerance and acceptance and boldly declare the word of God without fear of man. And through his message, Bates urges other believers to stand up for righteousness as well. I urge pastors and believers everywhere to stop buying into the culture's message, expectation, and demands that we be more tolerant, understanding, and accepting of these ungodly lifestyles and false religions and speak up for what is right. Bates says, let this experience simply be another call to prayer for all intercessors, because these situations are just more evidence of the last days in which we live in before the coming of the Lord and the final judgment of God. So you see there, churches are emptying out because the pastors are finally starting to say what you're doing is not right. And this is where, like he said, where the great falling away is going to start. Now, saints of God, I don't care who you are, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a leader, you're still a layman, just somebody sitting in the house of God, you have to preach. Or you have to, when you're talking to somebody, you have to tell the truth. And you cannot accept, let them believe that their lifestyles are correct. And you can't allow them to think that you approve of their lifestyle. In other words, don't enter into their lifestyle with them. Amen. Now here's another one. Court forcing pastor to pay nearly $500,000 over free speech settlement. All he did was circulate recall petitions, the bishop says. All he did was circulate recall petitions. Two federal courts and the state attorney general have sided with him, but the former mayor and a local judge appear out for blood to the tune of $475,000 straight from the pocket of Bishop Tom Brown. This is the most unjust action that has ever taken place against any church in the United States of America, Brown says. He leads Word of Life Church in El Paso, Texas. Attorneys for the city said the recall election was a political process, and as such, the city is not supposed to take sides. The former mayor argued he was sworn to defend the law, and since he believed petitioners broke election laws, the city should have backed him up, KVIA reports. I guess that's why God told me not to get into politics. He is clearly entitled to speak out publicly against an election official, Brown's attorney Joel Oster says. The Texas attorney general came in on the side of Tom Brown, and two federal courts say this is not a violation, but Tom Brown was facing over $1 million in attorney fees alone to appeal and lose. So rather than face that grave uncertainty, he settled the case for his church. The court handed down the settlement last month, but Oster says the pastor has filed a counterclaim in a lawsuit that already sucked up 5 years of the Brown's life. The free speech battle began when Brown demanded a recall for the election of former El Paso, Texas Mayor John Cook. The judge says Brown broke the law, and the bishop says the judge refused to grant him a jury trial. Cook sued for his attorney's fees, which amassed to more than $1 million. Brown put his church up as collateral. If Brown did not settle, he would have lost his church. In America, someone is liable for speaking out against an elected official. This is an outrage, Oster says. Brown is heartbroken and confused. Religious freedom cases consistently make headlines, but he says few have acknowledged his. People are just not caring about what happened to our church. Now, Pastor Brown says, everyone's silent. This is serious. We have to pay $475,000. How would you like to have a church? Just because you spoke the truth, someone comes in and takes it out from underneath you. You know, I want you to, if you're gung-ho about going out there and preaching the word, starting your own church, these are the things you might face in life down the road. Not might, you probably will, the way they're persecuting churches. You will face these things down the road. So if I was you, I'd make sure that God is opening the door and you are not. I would make sure that God is in it 100%, and it's not your will but his will being done in every situation. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. If you do something on your own and God's not in it, God does not have to back you up. Amen. And the enemy can come in there and really cause a lot of havoc. I know I haven't taken up offering yet, but I will, so don't get excited. All right, now in the headlines, it said a 9-year-old boy's Muslim father tied him up and burned him for accepting Christ. Then I read another headline that says, taking kids to church violates their human rights. Then I read another headline, 200,000 Buddhists just turned from false gods to Jesus Christ. I wish that would say 200,000 church members quit being on the fence and settled for God. Amen. All right. And the fourth thing is Presbyterian Church USA caught praying to Allah at the opening of the General Assembly. At the end, the pastor said he apologized if that offended anybody. And he said they're going to include everybody's religion into their services. And it showed them praying to Allah, and it said it gave the prayer that they spoke. Now, you know, guys, come on. You know, you're going to have to be so close to God, and your ears are going to have to be so clean from the things of the world that the only thing that you hear is God's voice and God's voice only. Because the enemy doesn't, he would just love to come in and speak his lies into your ears and cause you to go astray. And right now, many are losing their salvation. Many are losing their salvation because they don't want to hear the truth of the word. They would rather you scratch their ears a little bit and pat them on the head and say, go on, you're just fine. That's what they want to hear. But you, everybody in here, if you're ministering to anybody, I don't care who you are, God's, when you stand before God one day in judgment day, he's going to ask you, what did you do with so-and-so? When you spoke to them, what did you do with them? How bright was your light when you was with so-and-so? Did your light shine? Did your light cause them to turn from their wicked, evil ways? Or did you have a dim light that didn't have any effect on anybody? I want everybody in here this morning, you really need to search your heart. I keep telling you this, but you nearly need to search yourself over and over and over again. Where am I at with you, Father? Am I really doing the things that you're calling me forth to do? Am I really walking the holy, righteous path? Then I read another headline. It said, they have found irrefutable proof that King David is more than a fairy tale. Now, I did not know that they were saying that King David was just a fairy tale, a story, but just a fairy tale in the Bible. I mean, come on. If they would spend as much time getting close to God as they do trying to prove the Bible's not correct, we would have a better world, would we not? Why do you think those stories are in the Bible? They're in there to show us what kind of people that God used in that dispensation. They're in there to show us that none of those people were saints, that they all had imperfections. And they were in there to show us that we can also be like, just we'll use David as an example, we can be like David and go ahead and do a great mighty works for the Father. You know, everybody is going to fail in their walk with God in some area at some point. But that doesn't mean we stay down. We get ourselves back up, we brush ourselves off, and we go forward. And see, the reason why you can't do this is because you don't understand where God's at. Just like with our praise and worship this morning. When I was given the praise and worship song list, I thought, no, I just knew in my spirit that was not to be played. The Sister Teresa had made up. And so then God said, this is what I want. And I sat there and God told me exactly what to play, how to play. I got everybody involved, you know, and put them in my little work schedule. And we got it down. And because God was in it to begin with, when it was put together, then he moved. And see, I tell everybody, I don't care what your position is in the house of God, make sure that God is telling you what to do. And we did the bulletin every Sunday he tells me what to put on. But this Sunday, he said, I don't want no soldiers or nothing on there. He said, what I want on there, and he said, I want the fireworks and then whatever he told me to write on there. You know, And I forgot what Brother Larry said to me, and I said, what God wants us to do is get back to the blood of Jesus. We need to understand it was the blood that set us free. I know our soldiers helped set us free. I know all that, and I don't put that down at all. You know, I donate to them and everything, but we need to understand that, first of all, it was the blood of Jesus that did it. Without the blood of Jesus, we wouldn't even have the soldiers, would we? We really wouldn't. So it's the blood of Jesus that sets you free. So always remember that. All right, then I read another article that said, today we see an ever-rising intolerance toward the truth. If you compromise the message of Jesus, the world will love you. But if you proclaim Jesus without compromise, the world will hate you. Remember what I told you when I first started this church, all the pastors around here said, if you would just tone down your preaching, you're too hard on preaching. He said, they love you. They're the biggest church in Delaware. But I said, I cannot compromise what God's telling me to do. A big church is not my goal. Souls is our goal. Truth is our goal. Amen. Many big churches have many people in them that are still going to hell. I want you to understand this. If you start a ministry, it's not how big your ministry can be. It's how many souls are you saving? How much light are you producing? Now, we've all been down in that valley of despair for quite about 10 years or so, but that's over with now, guys. Now we have to move forward. We have to get up out of the molly grubs, and we have to move forward now. We're in a new remember I told you, God showed me we're in a new era, a new dispensation, and God is doing a new thing. What he was doing is done. It's over with. Now he's doing a new thing, and he needs us to be in tune with the new thing that he is doing. So don't try to, well, I used to do it this way. Well, I used to do it that way too. But God isn't doing it that way. And it worked the other way, didn't it? But God said, no, what I have for you to do is so much greater than what you're leaving. So don't try to do what you used to do. And I'll tell you, it'll mess you up because you're already all geared to that and you already have that down pat. And then when God starts taking you a new way, telling you to do something different, then you're going to have to learn all that. But then in the meantime, you have to keep your feet firmly rooted and grounded in Christ and go ahead and let him take you to a higher place. Amen. We are getting ready to go into one of the greatest events that the church history has ever seen, saints of God, but we have to do it God's way. I was thinking, I don't know why, but it came to me about the revival that was going on in California. I don't hear anything more about it. I don't know if it waned or if they're just not advertising anymore, but I said, God, I don't want something that wanes. You know, I want something that goes on and on and on and on and on. I don't want these things that stop. Unless you have something greater that's right there, you know, to pick it up. How about you? You know, I'm tired of letting the devil, you know, we get on this here, this slide, and we're just having a good time, and all of a sudden it all ends, and then the devil takes over, you know, and starts harassing. I'm tired of that. I want God to get us to a place where, you know, he has to get us individually to a place where he can put us on a road, and we'll be strong, and we'll be secure, and he can keep us there, and he can keep using us. Amen. Somebody give Brother Allen. Oh, where's Brother Allen? He's still on for. Okay. All right. The word tells us that after the bodies of the, and this is what's in the Bible. The word tells us that after the bodies of the witnesses lie abandoned for 3 years, we're talking about the end time, all right? For 3.5 days, God will breathe life into them again, and they will come to their feet. Everyone around the world will be struck with terror. These are the three witnesses that are going to be walking, and then they're going to die, and then God's going to bring them back to life. Then everyone around the world will be struck with terror. Then the people will finally give glory to God, but they are still unrepentant. It is out of their terror that they give glory to God in order to appease him. You see that? When these three men are brought back to life, it's going to set the people in a tizzy. They'll give glory to God, but only out of fear. And that's not right. The people are doing that today. They're receiving Christ only out of fear, but they're not walking. They're not repentant, and they're not walking the way they should walk. So, saints, we don't have to wait till these three witnesses come and then die. To get excited. We need to get excited right now about our walk with God. Am I really walking the way I should be walking with God right now? Am I really walking in holiness and in righteousness? And I'm really doing the things that God has called me forth to do. Amen. You know, you might not be able to be one of those that gets it right after these three men are here. Okay, up until the end times, through thousands of years of human history, sin and rebellion, God has been patient. And everyone in here, you can say God has really been patient with you. Despite the human race blaspheming and rejecting him, and despite the ungodly persecuting and killing his people, God has withheld his judgment and wrath. Every one of us in here today, if we were honest, we would say we really should be dead today. But for God's grace. But for God's grace. All right? For now, God continues to entreat people to repent and to receive his son Jesus. But when the day of wrath comes, there will be no second chances. So don't think, well, I still have tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what God's going to do tomorrow. You need to get yourself right today. Today is your day of salvation. Today. Not tomorrow, not next year. And whenever you truly give yourself to God, you don't turn around and go back into your sins that you're in before. Because if you do that, then you have not given yourself to God. You haven't. You've just said some empty words and some empty actions, and they mean absolutely nothing to you or to God. Whenever you truly, just remember I was telling you about the prisoners, all those prisoners that got baptized. The guards and everybody said that you could really see a difference in these prisoners. You could tell they truly did accept Jesus Christ. You could tell their lives were truly changed. I don't see too many Christians that we can say that about. You know, when they come to the altar and they give their heart to God, the next day you see them, they're the same as they were the day before they gave their heart to God. And that's not right. We should be changed. We should be different. We're supposed to be witnesses. The Apostle Peter wrote, "The Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient with us, because he does not want any to perish, but all to come to repentance." You'll find that in 2 Peter 3:9. See, I've been teaching about God's love, but that's not sinking in. If you understand, the reason why you're not dead and in hell is because God loves you. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Nobody. It wasn't made for you and I. It was made for Satan and his fallen angels. But so many of God's people are there. Amen. And you know, sometimes when you look at your loved ones, you think, are they going to make it? Are they really going to make it? Is God really going to get a hold of them in time before they pass away? Right? Because you never know when you look at, and I read saw in the headlines this morning over in Bangladesh, I think it was, where somebody went in there and shot those people in that pub again, or a bar, whatever it was. Three Americans were killed. They weren't expecting to die. They shouldn't have been in the bar anyhow, if they were gods. I don't know whose they were, but, you know, because God didn't make the bar. But still, no, they didn't know they didn't have tomorrow to live. See, this is the trouble with us. We think, oh, well, we have tomorrow. No, tomorrow isn't promised to anybody. You know, you're a young kid, you think, oh, well, I have the rest of my life to get it together. No, you don't. You just don't know. When I was reading about the family that was on vacation, it was a mother, father, and four children, and he ran in front of a train somehow or other, and a mother, father, and three children were killed. Those three kids are dead. They didn't have tomorrow. Are you understanding this? I mean, they were too little to be, you know the difference, but still, no, I'm just saying they could have been older. And what God has been telling me all this week is that his people are not serious enough with their walk with him. They're not serious enough with their walk with him. They have too many hidden agendas, and he wants the hidden agendas brought out into the light so we can deal with them and so that we can walk with him in purity of heart. Let God deal with you. Let God bring everything out that's not of him. Because wouldn't you be sick if you were sitting in hell and there was one little tiny thing that you was withholding? And that one little tiny thing took you straight to hell. And you let all these other things go. But you held on to one little thing. And there you sat. See, God says, I don't want 99.9, I want 100% of you. This morning, this is really a call to, I really had a really good message. I'm going to give it tonight. I can't hardly wait because it's really good. But God wanted me to do this morning because this is a call to repentance. True repentance. He wants us to truly repent. He wants us to turn from our wicked, evil ways and truly give ourselves to Him 100%. And don't say, I slipped and fell. Quit slipping and falling. Get sure-footed in Christ. Get your feet on that solid rock and stay there. I don't know about you, but I'm seeing so many people that knows God slipping away. And you can't get to them because now they're walking in fear and confusion. Why? Is it because they weren't taught any differently? I don't know, but I do know one thing. I cried the other day last week when I heard somebody talk who I knew knows God with every fiber of their being, walking in fear of what might be coming. Today the window of salvation is still open, but for how long? God's patience will come to an end. He's talking to the church now, all right? He's dealing with the church still. And when he quits dealing with the church, then he's going to bring the world in. And he said, he's promised us that he's going to take that world and immediately, suddenly clean them up and start using them. All right, today the window of salvation is still open, but for how long? God's patience will come to an end. Let no one assume that he will tolerate rebellion forever. You know, you say, well, that's not fair. He's going to bring the world in and clean them up immediately. Hey, you've been in the house of God 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and he's been dealing with you all that time to get yourself right. And you didn't do it. So, yeah, what he is doing is right. What he is doing is righteous and just. Amen. You gave all kind of excuses why you couldn't live right, but that's all they were, was excuses. Because my word says that God makes a way. There isn't anything we should fall into. God makes the way. Amen. How many of you in here this morning, you could kick yourself all over Dover or Maryland, wherever you live, because of the dumb things you've done since you've known Christ? Yeah. Yeah, we've really done some dumb things, haven't we? But we're not going to do it anymore, are we? You know, we know the truth, and the truth has set us free. And now we're going to be the lights that God's called us to be. And we're going to go forth, and we're going to win this generation for Christ. We really are. You guys are the ones that God wants to use. You're at the age, in the age frame that God is using right now. And getting prepared to go forth and to save this lost and dying world. All of you that have been into drugs or whatever you've been into, serving Satan or whatever, those things that you use are the things you're going to encounter in the world that's coming into the house of God. And you're going to be able to say, hey, I was there. And look what God has done to me. And if he did it to me, he'd do it to you too. And see, they're going to believe you because you were there. You know, a lot of things they said to me, well, you don't know. No, I don't know, but I do know, sort of, you know. But they want somebody that's been genuinely there and really knows from the depths of their soul what really goes on. I can see what goes on the outward, but I really don't know what goes on in the inward. I don't know what makes people do the things that they do, you know. But you've been there, you know. All right. Although the scenes of Revelation are disturbing, in the end, God and his people will prevail. That's all that was out of Revelation. Through the Antichrist schemes, God will destroy the false religious system just before he destroys the Antichrist himself. Through the Antichrist schemes, God will destroy the false religious system just before he destroys the Antichrist himself. You know, this Antichrist that people are going to bow to is going to, God's going to destroy him. So, see, we need to be wise, and we need to make sure we don't follow. You know, the Antichrists with the S on the end are already in the house of God. God told me that a few years ago. He said the Antichrist, putting the S on the end, are already in the house of God. Now we will have the Antichrist, but he has his little peons already set in the churches all around the world. And this is why God said that we cannot have not one religious spirit in our bones. We have to be totally walking in the Spirit so we are not deceived. All right? And you need to get in your Word and read your Word. See what the Word tells you. All right, through the Antichrist schemes, God will destroy the false religious system just before he destroys the Antichrist himself. So don't lose hope. None of the trials to come, can separate us from God's love and his plan for us. The ones that are to come, saints, you think it's bad now. You just wait and see how dark it's really going to get. God told me years ago it's going to be gross, gross darkness. As Paul reminds us in Romans 8:37, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul says, no, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Therefore, we should spiritually prepare ourselves. Revelation's central message is not the end of this world, but the glorious unveiling of the new heaven and the new earth. That does not leave us in despair. It lifts our spirits and ignites our passion to witness for Christ. So we said, therefore, we should spiritually prepare ourselves. Revelation's central message is not the end of this world, but the glorious unveiling of the new heaven and the new earth. Revelations is not something to go into despair over. Revelation is something to get excited about. I want each one of you in here today that know the love of Christ. I want you, if you meet somebody that is in bondage, just say drugs. What did God tell us to do? Love the unlovable. Love them even when you feel like you can't love them. If you feel like you can't love them, then ask God to give you love for them. Because those people are hurt, they're bound, and their destination at this point is hell. They do not want to be in that bondage. They truly do not. And for the grace of God, there goes you. For the grace of God, there goes I. I don't care if it's drugs, I don't care if it's perversion, I don't care what it is. You ought to say to God, for the grace of God, there goes I. And we need to be spreading the love of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world. Not condemnation, they already know what they're doing is wrong. They already know that they're messed up. They don't need you to tell them how messed up they are. They need you to hold them up in prayer. Prayer is what is going to bring these people out of that valley of despair. Prayer is what is going to set them free. And so whenever we have loved ones or friends or loved ones too, people in the church, when you see them messed up, prayer is what we need to give them. It's not talk about them. It's not judging them. It's to pray for them. And God has been really dealing with us that now is a time to pray as we have never prayed before. If you have a husband or wife that's wayward, instead of saying they deserve to go to hell, they deserve to go to heaven. Come on. You don't know what's driving them. You don't know what's in their thought life. You don't know what kind of bondage they have inside. So they deserve to go to heaven just like you do, right? And so what you're supposed to do is to quit hating them and quit praying against them, but you're supposed to be putting them in the hands of God and telling God that they're his, right? And he knows how to take care of them, does he not? And then you just go on and just keep showing your love. Your love is going to slip every now and then, and I'm not going to say it won't, because we're human. But when your love slips, just say, God, I'm so sorry. And say, God, I need you to reinforce my love walk. I need you to put more love in me so I can keep loving the way you want me to love. And there isn't a person in this room, I can guarantee you, that has not slipped in their love walk in some way, shape, or form in the last 10 years. I say the last 10 years because, you know, God told me, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because Satan has been cast down. And so at that point is whenever Satan and all his cohorts, his top officials came with him, came in. And that's why you don't have deliverances. That's why you have exorcisms, because the little devils aren't there. Now you have the big guns. And from that point on, the church has been going through hell, because Satan and he has commanded his cohorts to make sure that we don't make it. So you see, who's going to win here? Satan and his command to his people, or God and his command to his people? We don't have to give in to what Satan does to us or says to us. We really don't. And you know, you have to evaluate yourself. I said to God last night, I said, you know what, God, I've been going through so much hell for so many years, I think I've become hardened. You know, I said, I can't be hardened and serve you. So now my plea for God is, please soften me. Please, and it's not anything with my heart, but it's just my overall nature. Please soften me, Lord. I'm sorry that I failed you when you placed me in the midst of a lot of unlovable people. You know, I was loving them, but yet it was having an effect on me too. And we don't realize that we're loving, we're putting out ourselves, and all of a sudden we realize that, you know yourself. You look at yourself or hear yourself, say, where have I gone to? Can't you do that? Where have I gone to? I used to be this. No, look what I am today. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not the loving, soft person I used to be. I'm hardened. So now I'm asking for God to soften me up. Amen. So, you know, guys, see, don't look at your brother's little speck he has in his eye. Look at that log you have in your own. You never know who's going to be saved and who isn't. We just don't know that. Only God knows that. And so our job is to pray, unceasingly pray. And I've been praying more now than I have in quite a while. And I've been finding more peace, too, because of increasing my prayer life. All right? So increase your prayer life. I don't care how much you pray, increase it. And just see, while you're praying, the enemy can't get in there, because your mind is on the things of God. And if the enemy does come, just boot him out. Just say, you weren't invited to this prayer meeting. And just boot him out. Amen. Don't let him have dominion in your life. This morning, God is calling his church to total repentance. Things you know you've done and things you don't know you're doing. He wants to take you to that place in him that you've never been before. And you say, well, I've been there. No, there's places in God you have not yet been. And he wants to take you to that place that you've never been to before. And in that place, all right, well, with me, as God's softening me, I find myself crying more often. I find myself realizing that the things that we used to do are no longer valuable, you know. That God has a whole new transition the whole way around. And the things that I used to look at in one way, I'm now looking at in another way. So you see, that's a place I've never been with God, because I never had to go there. But now I have to go there in order for God to transition me into what I'm asking him to transition me into. So each one of you here this morning, if you're asking God to do something special in your life, you're going to have to go to a place you've never been before. And in that place, whatever you're asking for is going to take place. So if there's anybody here this morning that you really want to do that, the altar's open. Some of you are standing in the gap for some people, and God said those that you're standing in the gap for, he's now going to perform the miracle that needs to take place in their life. So just receive that.